Well, today the scripture is about launching out into the deep, and I have been fairly effective in Newark as pastor of the First Reformed Church. We saw a lot of people in the park and nobody in the church, so I went out and preached in the park, and pretty soon a lot of those people came into the church, and as a matter of fact, it grew from about 40 people huddled in total fear and ignorance of the power of the gospel to about 160, which is very big in Newark at any time. But and most all the people that came were not transfers from Short Hills, you can be sure. They came to know Jesus Christ as Savior through the gospel. So there were as many professions of faith in that one church as the whole presbytery. It was called a classis in the Reformed Church. And you know what the secret was?
The gospel.
Yeah, it's the power of God. It really works. It'll work today in this meeting. It can save a soul from hell to heaven. It can establish a family on a rock. It can give a man a reason to live. In terms of his business, in terms of his pleasure, in terms of his family, a man to live because Christ knows how to live and the risen Lord is living in him. This is a wonderful thing, this gospel. And I've staked everything I have on the gospel. Now, I want to do something for our children. You know, we need more children in this church. When we started out, man, we had a lot of kids and the minors helped. See this man? He could fly an airplane. Oh, man, could he fly. And one day during a big, big war, he went up with his squadron to fight this enemy, who are now very good friends, the Japanese. They were trying to conquer America. Believe it. So, this is Danny, my brother. And so, they were on Midway Island. They heard this great Japanese fleet, the greatest fleet in the history of the world ever put together. And this ragtag bunch of Marine and Navy pilots went out and won the greatest air and sea battle in the history of America. He was one of them. He got killed later, Danny Iverson. But here's what I'm preaching about today. Launching out to the deep. When all his other planes got knocked out, he had every right to just fly back to Midway. But he didn't. He ducked into a cloud. There were 13 Japanese Zeros. The fastest little plane of that day, 330 miles an hour, that was really fast. His plane would go 140 with a bomb load, just about the way you drive if you're a preacher. And so, guess what? He ducked in the cloud, came out, and the two other planes, there were two other planes he had seen, but they were gone. He came out all alone, and he came out of the cloud. There were three of the proudest, biggest aircraft carriers in the world. The Japanese prepared to beat America, believe it or not. It seemed impossible, but that's what they were going to do. And he picked the Hiroshu. You can Google Midway Madness or Danny Iverson. You'll see the story. And he came out of that cloud, picked one. And he had only one bomb. It's a torpedo bomber. So, and also they call it a dive bomb. He dove down within 300 feet of the carrier and dropped the bomb right there. And his plane only had 241 bullet holes and shrapnel holes in it when he landed. And you've seen a picture of a plane landing on the Enterprise. That was his ship, but he actually, with one wheel, Well, that was Danny, but the actual thing, he landed back on the island. And that ship, I met a pilot at Pensacola where that airplane is on display at the Naval Air Station. It's beautiful. And so little, it's hard to believe. But I met a pilot there. He said that he saw that great aircraft carrier go up in flames in the back when that hit came. And actually, he had been told you always hit the propeller, the back, and disable it, and the planes couldn't land on it if it's not in the right direction with the wind. It's very difficult. So that's Danny. And he launched out to the deep and was part of the reason we were able to win that battle. And from then on, America was prospered and blessed by God, and we're very grateful. Now, this scripture about launching out in the deep is one of my favorites. And the reason was, I had a little attic study. It was really hot up there, and had a fan at the end of the room, exhaust fan, and boy, I was sweating and praying and wondering, how do you reach Newark? Or how do you feed an elephant? You know, it's a big thing. And I'd been called to minister, and I'd worked for a while in this church, and God blessed us, but it just didn't seem where I would fit. So I was praying, and suddenly I had a vision beside my wife when I saw her. That was the only vision I ever had. And I just saw this luncheonette, and where I'd been once and preached outdoors. It came to my mind, and so I got in my car and drove up South Orange Avenue, and right opposite West Side High was this luncheonette, exactly as I had seen it. So I got out and went in and asked the man, it had a sign on it, luncheonette for sale. So I asked the man, I said, well, what do you sell it for? He said, well, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. He said, well, you better stick to preaching. I'm going out of business here. I said, I want to be in business here. With 200 kids coming in that luncheonette every day? Wow. It's a luncheonette would catch kids. And I could lunch out into the deep, all those things. So I said, well, how much is it? $1,500. So I went and put up my car for collateral and got $1,500. Car wasn't, they were good to me at the bank because it wasn't worth much more than that, but I went and bought the luncheonette, and I was in business. Street level ministry with more kids than any preacher has probably ever worked with in Newark, ever, because I was serving Cokes and burgers and fries, and things go better with Coke, and they really go better with I got you under my skin. You know, Frankie Valli was really going to it, and breaking up was very hard to do and all that. And B.D. Sloan, the eve of destruction. If we were on the eve of destruction, that jukebox, I would stand on a table and preach off the jukebox messages. What the world needs love is love, sweet love. So we'd do the eve of destruction. And then tell where that love comes from. So that's one of the little things I did to launch out into the deep. And I thought I was a great hero doing that at the time. But as I look back, I've never really sacrificed anything for Jesus. I mean, when you look at the cross, what can you really give? Just give yourself. And that ain't much, baby, but it's all you got. But give it. Give it because he can live it. See, if you don't give it, he can't live it. But if you give it, he can live it. So this scripture is great. Let me share it and ask once more for God to bless. Bless this word to us. Teach us something fresh and new, God. Encourage the church, this church, to launch out into the deep. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. Simon answered, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which he had taken. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I'm so glad there's Kleenex here. This passage I was studying, Launch Out into the Deep, when I got in my car and saw that luncheonette and said, well, if I'm ever going to ask anybody else to launch out into the deep, I'll have to do it. So that's when I left the safety of a beautiful manse at 41 Brookwood Drive, Maplewood, a lovely home, a salary that in that day was adequate at $2,700 a month. Or was it a year? It wasn't much, but it was wonderful. And I enjoyed the ministry in that church. And we started open air campaigners by preaching outdoors, and it spread all over the world with about 140 evangelists. And you'd done some of that work. And different wonderful things happened. During that time, we started a couple other churches. And the main thing, I was learning a lot. And I was so grateful that I was prepared to just launch out in the deep and get that luncheonette, because it changed my life. And I got under the culture. And I'd never really worked for a living being a preacher. So I had to survive with that luncheonette. And I had to make a lot of hamburgers. I had to prove that things go better with Coke. And Coca-Cola, that is. And it was a wonderful change in our lives. And my wife, Ann, was excited about it. And my boys, too, because we had one of those frozen custard machines there. So they loved the idea of coming. Danny gained 45 pounds. But we just relish the opportunity to launch out into the deep and to see the financial things happen. We stayed broke and never missed a meal. And I could always bring a couple leftover hamburgers home and some fries and heat them up. And we were very happy in the days of launching out into the deep. My question to you is, how safe are you playing it? Have you ever really launched out into the deep? Are you taking any chances? Are you willing to come out of the cloud and being the only one left? Go for it. I don't know many people that do take a risk. I don't have any fun with people that won't take a risk. It's really boring. Boring. Now, I was studying this church. You have fewer people here than when I started it. When we started this church, we had more people than this. I looking at the presbytery, looking at the church. Well, this city has 20,000 people. And today, in all the churches put together, the Protestant churches, I think there's six of them, but I computed this once. Only 2 to 3% of the people are in church. That's not very many. When the Lord said, "You shall receive power, and I'll send the Spirit, and you'll be witnesses unto me where you live and the next town and to the ends of the earth." But we're looking at Melbourne. 20,000 people, less than 3% going to church. Our presbytery is spending $1 million on our congregational work for every one profession of faith. When the PCA started, my home presbytery, for every 11 Presbyterians, there was one new profession every year. That's South Florida Presbytery. And the whole PCA, it was for every 18. It just 10 years ago, for every 18 of us, we'd win one in a year. Now, there's something like, for every 45 of us, and there are probably not that many people here, about that many, we win one in a year. Now, last year, there are two professors of faith in this church that was in proportion to the things I studied about. But this church spent $173,000 and gained two professions. Now, let's say you had a whaling business and for that whaling business to work, you'd have to get one whale a month, and you know, it's big, and they're going to have to cut it up and sell the skin, sell the teeth, sell the fat, make a lot of money. But only one whale in a year, and it'd be out of business. So they ended up discovering that they couldn't really do it with just a big whale boat. The whale boat only processes the whale. They had to have these little whaling boats. They're not much bigger than a whale. Go out and harpoon the whale and bring the whale in. And then they were in business. So, how many of you today, I asked you last time, invited someone to come worship in this church today? How many invited somebody to come? So, you remember my wonderful logic from the lesser to the greater. If you're not doing the easier thing, which is what? Invite somebody to church. Even telephone, a card. If you're not doing the easier thing, are we really aggressively living out the gospel and sharing it with people? Now, I'm always messing around with you people because, you know, I'm the father of the church. Now I'm a grandfather. I'm a great-grandfather. And I'm telling you, it's a sin against God. See, we're neat sinners, well-dressed sinners, but we sin against God. Because if you break the greatest commandment, it's the greatest sin. That's loving God with all you've got. Well, when you're in love, you go tell everybody about the person you love. You show the rings and all that.
So, what's wrong with us in the church? Why don't we go? Do you have any answers? Could it be that you're not in love with him, the bridegroom? Because a friend of the bridegroom, you know, he's really into it. Jesus said, is it that you've never really experienced Christ in your heart? You made a profession of faith? What's your son's name? That one. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Are you married?
No.
You believe in marriage?
Yes.
You believe it's a good thing?
Yes.
Oh, you're married then. Oh, isn't that wonderful? He made a fine profession about marriage, but he ain't married yet. You're going to have a long way to go. Good job, and a Christian lady, and maybe. I met the girl that I married when I was your age, so it's dangerous age. So the Lord wants us to launch out into the deep, not play it safe, and do the thing that other people aren't doing. And I love that because I'm arrogant. I'm an athlete. I played in 111 athletic events at college. I studied on the side and chased girls and all that. But, I like the contest, competition. But for the contest we have now, with this culture and the devil, it's going to take everything you've got. So in the scripture lesson, let's look at the word here. It says there were a whole lot of people there. Now it's pointing out 20,000 people in this city and less than 3% attending churches. How many are Christians? We don't know. And the money we put out for every profession in this church, we're spending $86,000. And if we got one whale and spent a whole year and $86,000, we'd be fired from the whaling business. We need to get down to business. So in this passage, the Lord asked Simon, well, Simon, I know you're mending your net. You didn't catch any fish. But in spite of the inconvenience, because Peter was saying, listen, I smell the bacon and eggs, and I know there's grits. I want to go home and eat. We fished all night, Lord. And the Lord said, so what? Launch out into the deep. Put your boat out there, and I'll tell you where to fish. Go to the right side of the boat. And as you know, they had so many fish, the boat almost sank. They had to ask another boat to come help them. Now, in Scotland, there was a young preacher with terrible heart condition, Robert Murray McChane. He died at 29, but he knew how to pray. He went on a visit to the Holy Land. And he was so sick, he never got to even see the Wailing Wall or Golgotha. He just had to lay in his tent, and he began to pray for the church back in Dundee, Scotland. And when he got back to Scotland, he found hundreds of people had started pouring into the church, and it had 1,100 people there. The gospel and prayer can build the church. And the sickest of us can be prayer warriors. The weakest little child can ask God to come and revive the church. And then those who can should launch out into the deep. And if we fished all night and caught nothing, well, 10 years ago there was zero people joined the church this past year, too, by profession. But that's the past. We've got the gospel. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We have each other. We have a lovely place to bring people. And we have homes all over the place where people can meet and pray and study the Bible. So everything's here waiting for us. So once they put the net out there, they got so many then that they had to, they saw their nets breaking. Wouldn't it be something to see this building just bursting out of its sides, reaching people for Christ? Those 18,900 or many people here that may not go to church. But here's the thing about it that's always interested me. When the Lord called Isaiah, he gave him a powerful experience of his holiness. And then Isaiah said, "Hey, man, I'm going to write about this. I've seen the Lord, and I'm really great." That isn't what happened. He said, "Woe is me. I'm undone. I don't have it. I can't." The best way to begin in a fresh way in the work of the gospel is to say, "I can't." Tell the Lord, "I can't." We don't want to do that. Tell him, "I can't." But then you have to listen. Here's what he's going to tell you. "I never said you could. I never said you could. I agree with you. You can't. But move over and let me do it." This is the work of God. It's not our work. It belongs to him from beginning to end. He gave us the gospel and the spirit and a voice and a life. Use it. Launch out into the deep. So they had more than they could handle. And I remember seeing that happen. I was in a little town called Port St. Joe, Florida. It was a terrible town. The town had been destroyed, they say, because it was so evil. It didn't have any church, and it had many, many taverns full of drunkenness. And a hurricane came and leveled it. But right before, the captain came into the port with scarlet fever and yellow fever, and it spread. And you can go to the graveyard there today, and you'll see 100 graves, all with 1843, the same year, on it. So that's where I was called to preach. People would call up and say, "Don't go there. That's a dangerous town. It's killed the last couple of preachers. One had a heart attack. The other one just gave up the ministry." And, you know, I said, "Sounds good to me." So I went, and for 3 months, I preached on 1 John, not on the gospel directly, but what a Christian really was. Then they found out they weren't Christians. Then I gave an invitation, and a revival began, and 20 or 30 people were converted to Christ in the church, including the chairman of the board of deacons came to see me at night. The treasurer came to see me at night. And the elder, who was a terrible drunk and a mean man, he'd just left the church, the clerk of the elders. And one of our people witnessed out on Mexico Beach to a friend who was a vestryman in the Methodist church. And he began to preach the gospel and made the preacher preach it. He was kind of a soft preacher. And 100 people came to the Lord in the Methodist church. Our little Presbyterian church grew. But wow, those Methodists got the blessing. So Peter said, "Come on over. You guys in the other boats. A sign that the gospel is really working in you is that you have something for other churches." What difference do we make to our community? What if this church disappeared today? Would it really make that much difference in our community? Would it make any difference to our sister churches? What kind of power do we share? These are mean things I'm saying. But the night is far spent. The dawn is at hand. Christ is coming. He didn't say when. It's certain he's coming, but it's uncertain. You don't know when. When he comes, there'll be a time of separation of all those that are saved from those that aren't. And it'll also be a time of reunion of all of us who know the Lord. I'll see my dad and mom who led me to Jesus. Christ is coming again. He can come when he wants to. Could be today. What would you be doing if Christ came today? Or, if this was your last day on earth, how are you going to use it? Whose day is it? It's the Lord's day. How are you going to use it? Who are you going to get right with? What sins do you need to repent of? Because even the thief on the cross, he was sinning and thievery and probably with his money, a lot of prostitutes and adultery and every wrong thing. Maybe he killed somebody. But Jesus said, when he turned to Jesus, said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The Lord said, barely, barely. That means, amen, amen. I'm telling you, with unequivocally, today you will be with me in paradise. So my final question to you is, if you died today and stood before God, he said, why shall I let you in? What will you tell God? Will you tell him how good you were? Would you tell him you were Presbyterian? That might be dangerous. Will you just tell him, my hope is built on nothing less and Jesus' blood and righteousness? How will anybody you talk to or anybody here come to the Lord? It's very simple. You have a dirty glass. You have to empty out whatever's in it. And then it's still dirty. You have to wash it in clean water. And then you have to just put it under the soda fountain or the milk jug and fill it up. So what do you need to do today? Do you need to empty out the glass of yourself, self-centered, and sinful ways? And then do you have to clean up your act, get it all clean? Sometimes it takes a while. But if you're giving it all to Jesus, he's helping you. It's his work, not yours. And then just truly sing what we sang. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. And the Lord will come, visit you, live in you forever. I'm so glad today I'm a Christian. I'm 86. And my mother lived 103. And I'd like to have more years to serve the Lord. But it'd be well worth it if this were the last sermon I were ever to preach. I don't like to say that because Peter Marshall, he died in the pulpit. And a great preacher in New York City. But if it's the last day and one of you caught fire for Jesus Christ, before you die, there'll be 1,000. Any one of you is worth 1,000 coming to the Lord. Because you reach one, and that one reaches another, and that reaches another, and before you know it, hundreds know the Lord, just starting with one, or starting with one or two young guys. So let's pray as we end. First, our prayer of repentance. of asking the Lord to forgive our sins. And if you're not a Christian, not only of your sins, but your sinfulness, that you need to be born again, you need to be cleansed by Christ by asking Him to forgive you. For the blood of Jesus cleanses from how much? All sin. And then as many as receive Him, He gives the power to become the children of God. So if you wash the glass and it's filled with water, but you don't drink it, I mean, it's not going to do you any good. You must receive Jesus personally into your heart. Remember the two circles? There's a throne here and a throne here. And in this one, you're on the throne. In this one, Christ is on the throne. In this one, Christ is at your feet, and you try to tell Him what to do. Over here, He's on the throne, and He's telling you what to do. Which one are you? Who's on the throne of your heart? Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, these are your people. You love them so. You want to bless them. You want to multiply the gospel from this church to the ends of the earth. And, Lord, we remember that we're frail. And we tell you we can't. And we thank you that you can. So, Spirit of the living God, do come and visit your precious people. And anybody here that's not saved, that wants to be saved right now, by trusting Christ as your Savior and ask Him into your heart. Holding up your hand won't save you. Christ saves you. But if you're ashamed of Him, you're definitely not saved. Because when you're saved, it's the most wonderful thing, and you want everybody to know. So if today, for the first time, you finally realize that you've just been playing the fool with your soul, with religion, but you want to ask Christ into your heart right now, or you're doing it now, raise your hand and say, yes, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. Never be ashamed of that. So, Lord, hear these prayers and keep working in our hearts for the sake of your dear Son, for His glory, and because of His grace, we pray. Amen. We have closing hymns. Hymn 526, one of my favorites indeed. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So you must stand for this hymn. Sing it to the glory of God. Oh, you know, this is an old church bulletin. Come on up here and lead us in the last, because there are two songs, right? I wonder where that went.
We're singing hymn 453, and then we'll sing 454 immediately after. Please stand. 453, All Authority and Power.
something different you need to do. It could be launching out of a pool of moral sinfulness and getting on the dry land. On the other hand, once you're on the dry land, find the lake, place God's nurture, and then launch out. So whatever the case, what would you want to be thought about?
It's just time to launch. I'm not sure exactly what.
What are you looking for?
Yeah.
That's good. Anybody else? Some way to launch out, to do something you're not doing.
I think in this church we have the family nights coming up in a few weeks. We don't know exactly what they are, but
therefore, you have hospitality as an opportunity, and this church was started with a commitment to serve Newark. So how many of you would like to check out how you can do something in the inner city? How many of you would say, well, I'm not saying I am, but I'd like to know if there's something I can do. Anybody? Raise your hands. Oh, good. Something you can do. And God will show you. Most of my ministry, I never knew what I was doing. You can tell that right now. But I can look back, as my dad taught me. I said, Dad, how did you learn all? How did you accomplish? You started about 8 churches, and 4,000 came to the Lord and into that ministry over 24 years. I said, how did you do it? He said, well, I really didn't know. But when I look back, I see stepping stones in the will of God. And my job, step out. So just step out. See what God will do. Now the benediction. Now to him that loveth us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood and made us unto God our Father a kingdom of priests, to him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, and all the fullness of God in each and every heart, both now and forever. And bless the pastor and bring him back. Fullness and the blessing of the gospel of peace safely within his family. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for the privilege of being with you.
Great.
Thank you. And having my friends here too. I invited more people than all of you put together. So what do you think of that? You feel shame? I'm trying to shame you. Okay. God bless you. Now,
you may be seated. Thank you, Bill, for being with us today and bringing your good words and your direct words. Next week, I think this week Donnie comes back from vacation, but next week he'll still not be up here. That the plans were before he left. Next Sunday he should be attending an installation and ordination service down in Trenton at about the same time that he would have to be here. And we did call a guy who was really, really good, but I don't think he can be in two places at once. So next week we'll have another substitute preacher here, and I'm not sure who it is because I don't remember.
If he has an arrangement, he'll be here, and I'll have to put him.
Okay, so that's the story. Bill brought another book, Jesus and the Ways of Socrates. I didn't think they ever crossed paths, but I guess one learns from the other. And there are a couple copies out there.
We have a book signing. If you will be willing to sign a book for us?
Sure, I will. That's a privilege.
And you can check in the back of the church bulletin for the calendar of events. These are good events to ask people to come to. There's a women's Bible study on Thursday night. You could ask people to ask friends to come to that. That is here at the church, so you don't have to clean up your house if your house is a mess like mine is. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday of July, so there'll be a Care One service in Livingston, and that's another good opportunity to go out and meet some folks you wouldn't ordinarily necessarily get to meet, and that'll be at 3:30. Next Friday, not this coming Friday, which is 4th of July, but this next Friday, the 11th, will be a family fun night here at the church. There will be some games. I don't know what kind of games. I'm hoping for some sort of like board games. I'm a big fan of games like Scrabble and Monopoly and things of that sort. But there'll probably be other sorts of games too. And again, there's a perfect opportunity to invite someone to church, and not for church, because they'll say, oh, I don't want to go to church, but come play a game. Everyone likes to play games. And for the men, the women's Bible study is next Thursday. Next, a week from Wednesday, is the men's Bible study in the morning here at 6 a.m., which is before I wake up. But some people wake up that early and come here and have a Bible study. So you're encouraged to do that too. And other than that, I don't think there are any other announcements. So again, thank you to Bill Iverson. You're dismissed.